Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Ben Kasnoka is an award-winning entrepreneur and author. He's co-author with Reid Hoffman of the number one New York Times bestselling book, The Startup of You. Adapt to the future, invest in yourself, and transform your career. He is a sought-after keynote speaker on entrepreneurship, talent management, and the future of work. Chris Yeh is an entrepreneur, writer, and mentor. He helps interesting people do interesting things as the VP of Marketing of PB Works and general partner of Wasabi Ventures. These two gentlemen, along with Reid Hoffman, co-founder and chairman of LinkedIn, have written a great book, short tactical guide entitled The Alliance, Managing Talent in the Networked Age. Gentlemen, welcome to Edgewise.
Wonderful to be here. Thanks for having us.
I got a bunch of questions on this. I got done reading the book last week, and there's a lot of practical advice in there, and some of it I think is right in our sweet spot here, but some of it I think I might need a little bit better help and understanding and maybe better context from you on, and also give our audience a sense of where you're going in the book here. So I'm going to start with, would you mind walking us through the brief explanation of what you call in the book the tour of duty model, which you strongly advocate in the book?
So as you heard, the title of the book is called The Alliance. And the reason it's called The Alliance is because we believe that that is a better model for the relationship between manager and employee, between employer and employee. An alliance is a relationship between two independent parties where they have some common goals and overlap, but where they're still independent folks with their own dreams and aspirations. The tour of duty model is the way we turn that general concept of the alliance into something practical for individual managers and employees. And what the tour of duty consists of primarily is a mission objective. That is to say, the employee should know what mission they're on, what they're trying to accomplish. Oftentimes in Silicon Valley, that might be something like launching a new product. Out in manufacturing, maybe it's we've got a new car that's going to be coming out. If you're an internal person, maybe in accounting, it's, hey, we're rolling out a new system. But regardless, the mission is the chunk of work, the significant deliverable that the employee is working on. And the way the tour of duty works is once you establish the mission objective, you also, as a part of it, define what the employee is getting out of that objective and what the company is getting out of that objective. Because ultimately, an alliance is a voluntary relationship where both parties enter into it because they're going to get a benefit.
How formal does all of this get? Is this something that's codified? Is it kind of like a contract, or is it just sort of a verbal thing?
We do emphasize that it's not a contract. We're not trying to replace the current employment contracts that people have. But it is something that should be written down. Ultimately, we believe there's a real power in specifying and making really clear to both sides what they're getting out of the relationship. And writing it down is something that allows both sides to really use it as something to steer the relationship by.
And moreover, I think it's important to note that part of the conversation that happens between a manager and an employee when defining a tour of duty is to define a realistic time period over which this mission objective gets accomplished. And what we suggest in the book is that for your average transformational tour of duty, which is the type of tour of duty you use with your most entrepreneurial, ambitious employees, an initial tour of duty generally lasts between 2 to 5 years. And so you want to actually be specific in a time horizon that's realistic in the modern economy that doesn't imply lifetime employment.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, is there a role for traditional HR or human resources in this type of model?
Absolutely. The alliance is intended as a supplement for the way that people management currently occurs, not as a rip and replace replacement. And so HR will continue to have a major role. There continue to be the need for an employment contract. There continues to be the need for an employee handbook and various policies. And in fact, HR can also play a major role in facilitating the alliance. Obviously, not all managers are going to be familiar with these ideas at the outset, and we're definitely hopeful that the folks at HR will step in and help new managers and middle managers and other folks like that figure out how they can roll out the alliance within their organization.
One thing in particular, Chris, that we've been working with some companies on is helping empower HR managers to in turn empower line-level managers at companies to engage in constructive coaching conversations with employees. Like to have a tour of duty conversation, you have to be somewhat skilled at articulating what the mission could be that would actually be transformative for the company and helping the employee realize what their career aspirations might be, working together to figure that out and then constructing a mission around that. So there is some coaching that needs to happen for managers to do this effectively, to have quality career conversations, and HR can play an important role in that.
All right, so here's the question I've been dying to ask you guys. What is your response to someone who asks, well, sure, this is all well and good for LinkedIn and McKinsey, but what about me and my widget business?
Yes, no, this is a very important question because while the ideas in the Alliance come out of the experiences that we co-authors have had in Silicon Valley, especially with Reed and the co-founding of LinkedIn, it is the case that we believe the ideas can apply very broadly. And I'll answer the question with my own question, and that is, do you do your best work when you have a clear sense of what your mission is and what's in it for you? Or do you do your best work when you only have a vague sense of what you're trying to do and you're not really certain how you're going to be rewarded? I think that the key is, while we have a very specific terminology, and again, the ideas are especially powerful when you're working with entrepreneurial employees, as Ben has mentioned, the idea of having clarity around your mission, knowing what's in it for you, having a trusted relationship with your manager, that applies to any industry and just about any job function.
In particular, we think that if you're working in an industry, if your company's in an industry where adaptability and innovation are key, you need to adopt a new way of thinking about the employer-employee relationship, one that will enable you to attract and retain entrepreneurial employees. Mm-hmm. And so, Dave, when you say widget business, I took that to mean a company that's probably in an older school industry. But the truth is, an increasing number of industries and companies are now subject to the forces of technological change and globalization and need to increasingly adopt the kind of adaptive strategies that have worked so well in Silicon Valley in order to attract, manage, and retain entrepreneurial employees. So we think, while these are strategies that are currently being employed in Silicon Valley, all companies will increasingly need to adopt them if they wish to stay competitive.
In reviewing the book, it strikes me it's almost two sub-books. And the first one is definitely about the tour of duty model. And the second part is about alumni networks and networked intelligence. If you don't mind, let's transition into the second part of this a little bit. How would you describe an employee network intelligence?
So we define employee network intelligence as that collective intelligence that you can tap by using your employees as nodes for gathering information from their respective networks. The subtitle of the book is Managing Talent in the Networked Age, and one of the things that really sets our age apart is the way people are so interconnected these days, whether through social networks like LinkedIn or simply because everyone now has a supercomputer in their pocket and the ability to talk to anyone else in the world. So employee network intelligence acknowledges this new reality and says one of the most important ways we as an organization can learn about the outside world is through our individual employees and through the people that they know.
And the reason this is part of the Alliance, and while it is a distinct idea, you're right, but we think it fits nicely into the overall book, is that part of the commitment that a company needs to make to its entrepreneurial employees today is that by completing a tour of duty at your company, they will experience career transformation. Their LinkedIn profile will look more impressive at the end of their tour. And one of the ways that you can deliver on that promise is you can empower employees to build their professional networks. Mm-hmm. Every career expert in the world will tell you that one of the most important things you can do in your career is build out your network. So imagine how powerful it would be if you, the company, told your employees, we're going to encourage you to go out. We're even going to subsidize the lunches that you have with interesting people in the industry because we know that will help you build your network, which is valuable for your long-term employability. On the condition that when you come back into the office after taking someone out to lunch, you share what you learned in terms of competitive dynamics and technology trends and things like that. Share what you learned with your colleagues so all of us in the current company can adapt even faster. In that sense, the network intelligence theme has the characteristic of mutual investment and mutual benefit, which underlies the Alliance.
I think it's actually exactly, it's sort of the next evolutionary step in intelligence. You've got people who, you know, since forever, who wear lab coats and have very large brains. But I think a new sign of intelligence is exactly this employee network intelligence, where maybe I know it, but probably more importantly, I know who to call. I know who to ping to get deeper knowledge on a subject.
Absolutely.
Yeah, totally. And you know, a lot of senior executives do this already, right? They know that if you really want to find out what's going on in the industry, if you really want to find out who the, you know, the hot talent is or the great consultants or the great piece of technology, you don't find that out in a Google search. You don't find it in a book. You find it by talking to other smart people, by reaching out to people on LinkedIn and other sorts of networks, taking them out to lunch and picking their brain. So senior people do that all the time. That's partly how they got to be so successful. But imagine if you could empower all of your employees, all up and down the organization, to go out into the industry and tap all of their collective networks. Not only does it help transform their career, as I mentioned, but that intelligence can be so valuable to help you adapt in the right kind of ways.
I think that ultimately, you can look at the example of the authors as an illustration of why this is so important. When we began writing this book, one of the things that we did was, in fact, to reach out to our various friends and acquaintances throughout our various networks to get feedback, to get examples. And the book itself is much richer because of that network intelligence that we employed.
All right. So the next question I have is, why is it so important for a company, an organization, let's say, to create and sustain a healthy alumni network?
Well, as we describe in the book, it's entitled Managing Talent in Networked Age. And that networked age makes alumni more important than ever before. You're in a situation as a company where if you have any kind of success and you're around for a while, you're going to end up having more alumni than current employees. And all of those alumni are potential nodes on social media, are potential nodes for network intelligence, are people who can help the company in a multitude of ways. Just thinking about it, besides the network intelligence that they can provide, and again, because they're outside the company, they probably hear about things that employees within the company don't. They can also help with recruiting, either actively by referring candidates or passively by serving as a reference. And if you take a new job, you're going to probably reach out to people who used to work there on LinkedIn that you know and try to find out what the real story is. Finally, they can also refer business. The example I always like to use are the management consultancies, Bain, McKinsey, BCG. They spend a lot of time and energy building up their alumni networks and helping to place their alumni as CEOs of other organizations. Because guess what? When those CEOs decide they need some outside help, they're going to turn back to their alma mater and look for help from the people they're familiar with.
And I think it's important to emphasize that to establish an alumni network, to embrace the idea of your alumni, means you have to embrace the new world of work in which we're all living. It was funny, when we were working on the book, I spoke to a CEO of a large company in Hollywood, and he was very skeptical of alumni networks. He said, "I don't like the idea of alumni networks." And I said, "You know, why is that?" And he said, "If you leave my company, you're dead to me. I want people who are here. I want people who are loyal." Right? It was a very old school definition of loyalty. And that's just not realistic today. And it gets back to the chapter one of the book. Your best entrepreneurial people are not going to be interested in signing up for lifetime employment. And you can't afford to offer that anyway. So in a world in which people complete a tour of duty, two tours of duty, three tours of duty, and then move on to a new opportunity, creating an alumni network is a way for you to acknowledge that lifetime employment may be over, but a lifetime relationship between all parties can and should endure. And by being somewhat tactful about it, by organizing, it doesn't have to be too expensive. You know, LinkedIn created an alumni network, and it was driven out of the HR group, and it was a couple people working part-time. Set it up. It's a group on LinkedIn with some light infrastructure in the HR group, and it just goes so far to setting such a strong signal, both to current employees and, of course, all the future alumni about how committed the company is to embracing the spirit of alliance.
All right. The care and feeding of this alumni network, it might appear to some people to be a full-time job. Can this type of investment be justified?
Well, as Ben indicated, it doesn't necessarily have to be a full-time job. In fact, we did some research for the book, thanks to the help of the data scientists at LinkedIn, and we found that 98% of Fortune 500 companies already have a corporate alumni set up on LinkedIn. And that's just on LinkedIn. There may be corporate alumni networks that are set up on other platforms as well. And the funny thing is, almost none of those networks are official networks that the company has set up. These are networks which employees have gone out of their own way, on their own time, and often on their own dime, to set up. So the desire for these alumni networks is already there. To a large extent, they are self-organizing. And so as a result, it's not necessarily a full-time job. What it is just being intentional about it, just being open and supportive about it, puts you ahead of most of your competitors. But even if it were to take a lot of effort, and in the case of the management consultancies, for example, they do. I believe that we heard from Bain that they have 6 full-time people doing nothing but placing alumni in new jobs. They're essentially an in-house headhunting group that just helps Bain alumni. That investment is more than justified when you think about the value of a new hire, when you think about the value of strategic information, or when you think about the value of potential business that might be coming in. So our overall thesis is that people have dramatically underestimated the value they can get out of their alumni network. And in many cases, that they can tap 80% of that value simply by actually joining the alumni network on LinkedIn and offering to pay for some pizza now and then.
Agreed.
All right. So we bought the book. We read the book. We're all in. We're on LinkedIn. What's your advice to companies that want to get started with these concepts?
Well, I like the fact that everyone already bought the book. And anyone who hasn't, who's listening, make sure you do so.
Everyone listening has bought the book.
Wonderful. That is just the first step. What we tell people to do is, you know, we understand, I think we talked a little bit before the podcast started, and you mentioned that a lot of the listeners may be new managers or middle managers. They may not necessarily be the CEO, although hello to all the CEOs who are listening in as well. And part of it is, gosh, how do I get started with this? I don't run my company. I can't just set all the HR policies. How do I get started? And our response to that is we've always intended the book as something that is valuable to individual managers, even if their company hasn't explicitly adopted it. Every individual manager has relationships with their direct reports, and those are the core. Those are the glue that hold the company together. And we believe that you can begin applying the principles of the alliance with your direct reports, even if your company doesn't have an overall initiative. The tour of duty is the foundation of the alliance. It's how we organize it. And what you can do is maybe just ease into it. Start by defining a tour of duty with the new hires you have coming in, or with people who are switching their roles within the company. Maybe it's not every single employee for every single manager, but they start off with 1 or 2 employees per manager. And as they gain in confidence, as they gain in skills, then they roll it out more broadly. Finally, ultimately, each of the managers who's listening right now knows their organization better than I do. It may be that for one particular organization, it's best to try to start with employee network intelligence and to roll out a program where you encourage employees to take someone out to lunch in order to learn something, and then, as Ben described, report back to the rest of the company. Maybe for another company, it's let's actually begin participating in the existing alumni network that's out there. So it may depend on the individual company. It may depend on the individual circumstance. But either way, there's generally fairly easy, almost no-cost ways for people to step into the alliance and begin demonstrating the value before they have to commit to it entirely, which, if you think about it, is ultimately the overall message of the alliance, which is it's very difficult to jump into a lifetime relationship or into a firm investment right away. It's much better to do so incrementally and realistically so that both sides can develop that mutual trust, mutual investment, and mutual benefit.
And I would just add one quick thing to Chris's excellent summation there, which is we think the alliance happens in conversations between manager and employee, and the manager should start the conversation with 3 simple words: we are allies. And then proceed to describe how the company and he or she specifically as a manager is going to commit to career transformation on the part of employee if that employee can in turn commit to helping transform the company. We have some sample worksheets and templates and things on our website at thealliancedframework.com if anyone's interested in diving deeper into some of the conversational tactics.
We've been speaking to Ben Kasnoka and Chris Yeh, who along with Reid Hoffman have co-written a book entitled The Alliance, Managing Talent in the Networked Age. Gentlemen, thanks for spending time with us today.
It's been a wonderful day. Really appreciate it.
AMA webinars provide 90 minutes of focused how-to instruction and specific solutions for solving your most pressing work issues. For $149, you'll participate in an in-depth course taught by an expert who will answer your questions and guide you through the process a step at a time. For a complete schedule of upcoming AMA webinars, visit our events calendar at amanet.org/events. Here at the AMA, we value your feedback. If you've ever attended any of our webcasts, webinars, or seminars, you've no doubt encountered our feedback surveys. Well, our podcasts are no different. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.